Welcome inside an all-new edition of Talk of Champions. I'm Ben Garrett, at Spirit Ben on Twitter. Our thanks to Riverland Roofing. Riverland Roofing for all your roofing needs, 662-644-4297. I'm here in the Riverland Roofing New Albany Branch Studios. Mr. Brad Logan, well, you can tell he's not. He's out there in the mountains. Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Doing well at the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains, and it's absolutely beautiful. And Ben, just to rub it in for everybody back home, it was 56 degrees when I woke up this morning to come to breakfast. So it's absolutely beautiful here.
Absolutely jealous of that. Also, I'm dragging this morning. Last night, friend of ours, Emily Foreman, her and Clay, our friends, had a Traders party. I don't know how many of y'all have played the Traders or have watched the Traders, but when it comes to playing as a game with your friends, it can get really fun really quick. And you'll be shocked to learn that Ben was picked as a trader and finished sixth. They caught on eventually, but I'm still recovering this morning. I'm still, you know, hanging in there best I can. Brad, you've been kind of out of pocket because you've been there in the mountains, spending some quality time with the fam. What's your biggest takeaway so far of the week that was for Ole Miss Athletics?
Well, first of all, I enjoyed the podcast with you and Zach. That kind of kept me in the loop. I watched it the other day, and just to see that Pete Golding is really working hard. And I know there's been a little pushback about, you know, the importance of recruiting the state of Mississippi. I think that's more of a personal thing for me than I think it means on the field results. But I do think it's really cool that Ole Miss is in on four out of the top five players in Mississippi. And, you know, we'll see where they all land. But I think that's really good. Watching that, just seeing the visitors that are on campus this weekend, Zach did a great job kind of, you both did, going through who all is on campus this weekend. But I'll be honest, I'm really paying close attention to the baseball transfer portal and kind of who's going out for Ole Miss and who is kind of coming in and who's kind of on the perimeter about possibly committing to Mike Bianco and the Rebels. So definitely something I want to get into. And then maybe about maybe what the lineup looks like next year from a defensive standpoint about outfield, infield. So just kind of paying attention to both the portal and recruiting. And as we see on the screen here, Ben, baseball has been hot and heavy as of late.
Yeah, Mississippi State left-hander Charlie Foster is the most recent addition to Ole Miss's portal class, now up to six players: LSU right-handed pitcher Maverick Rizzi, Louisiana Tech infielder Trey Halsey, USC upstate right-hander Brent Stukes, Jacksonville State left-hander Eli Pillsbury, Georgia Tech right-hander Charlie Wilcox, and Mississippi State left-hander Charlie Foster. So two Charlies potentially as rotation candidates for Ole Miss next year. Looking at targets there, this is from the Ole Miss Spirit. It's our transfer portal tracker for Ole Miss baseball. Tennessee outfielder Nate Esfelder, I don't think Ole Miss is really in on him. Air Force infielder Wyatt Hanoin, I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Ole Miss hosted him, but I don't feel like they're much in on that one as well. He's now committed to Tennessee. A few players to keep an eye on pressing for Ole Miss that I think could pop pretty soon: TCU catcher Brady Dallimore and Houston infielder Blake Fields. You also see Louisiana Tech right-hander Thomas Allen as a potential target. And this isn't, you know, all of the ones they're in on. These are just the ones with known interest or that we feel confident putting on there as at least at some point known targets. Again, Nate Esfelder and Wyatt Hanoin. I'm going to get this right. Wyatt Hanoin they fell off the board pretty quickly, but we leave them there because Ole Miss did host them or at least have some contact. But I don't think Ole Miss is in on either of them. I do think that Brady Dallimore, Blake Fields could pop pretty soon. So looking at the class, what do you think of it so far?
I think right now it's early. I think it's really good to see that Ole Miss is being so active in the portal. You know, Pete Nekos, friend of the program, put out a post and then an article where a lot of this information, and you can get it obviously in the Ole Miss Spirit in the Field of Devon 3 at omspirit.com every day, all day. What I like about what Ole Miss is being mentioned in a number of recruits, and it's about recruits possibly coming in, not going out. I think a lot of what we need to discuss is the retention part of this. Ben, help me if I'm wrong. Braden Randall, along with Owen Kelly, are those the main two names that have been mentioned that are entered or have entered the transfer portal for Ole Miss?
Yeah, Ole Miss so far as transfers out, Blake Illich, Braden Randall, Noah Allen, and Tate Sermons. Noah Allen was the is the biggest loss of the four. And you might be like, wait, what? Braden Randall was a hero in the postseason. Well, Braden wants a real opportunity to play shortstop. I don't know how he's going to get it at Mississippi State or Tennessee, which is two places he's visiting. But a primary shortstop opportunity is what he's looking for. Obviously, he's not going to get that at Ole Miss. Best of luck to him. But Noah Allen, in terms of projectability and what he could be, is a huge loss because Ole Miss could have to replace all of its rotation candidates. And Noah Allen was going to be one of those guys that really would have been a candidate to fill a rotation spot. I think Ole Miss really liked him. And I really do think that, like, next year, if Noah Allen goes somewhere else, which seems most likely right now, that's one that this time next year, you go, dang, if Ole Miss could have held on to him, he could have been a real piece. So I think there are some losses for Ole Miss, but so far with what they've done, they're addressing needs. I mean, Trey Halsey steps in directly for Will Furness at first base. You got three, at least, I think, rotation candidates there on your screen with Charlie Wilcox, Charlie Foster, and Maverick Rizzi. Charlie Foster's a left-hander with an ERA that's north of six for Mississippi State, but the Bulldogs wanted to hold on to him. And very projectable as far as similar profile to Will Liberd. It's, you know, the stuff is there. It's just about you harness it and turn him into the pitcher that most everyone still thinks he can be. So Charlie Foster is the latest addition for Ole Miss baseball, and they're certainly not done. I'm curious, what do you think they still need to do? Because for me, you at least need one more corner power bat, either in the outfield corner, maybe at third base. Hayden Federico announcing his return is a big deal. In terms of positional versatility, he can play like, very similarly, Justin Bench did, third base, center field if he needs to. It just depends on what they add. I mean, he came in as a third baseman. So, and I remember him being billed by the coaches I would talk to over there as the future at third base. So maybe Hayden does get a chance there. He's now the face of the place, inarguably one of their better, more high upside hitters going into his junior year, but also can stay in center. So at least adding one more bat to a corner outfield or third base, but even still, you've only got one position player committed. They're going to get at least a few more done, but that's one obvious move for me. What about for you?
I think, first of all, let's kind of walk through the lineup, if you will, and kind of look at where some areas Ole Miss needs to emphasize. Depending on what happens, I mean, obviously we talked about the TCU catcher, Brady Dallimore, being targeted by Ole Miss. You got Austin Foley. Depending on what happens, and Ben, I don't know if you have the list in front of you, but there are a couple of invites to the major league workouts that I think will prove pivotal. We'll talk about those in a moment. But first base, obviously Halsey, and Luke Romine's a piece that I think maybe could be a designated hitter. He just saw the ball really well down the stretch for Ole Miss at the plate. I thought he had some really good at-bats. And so he's someone that could, if not start, have a pretty good backup possibility there. The middle of the infield is set, which is obviously why Braden Randall entered the transfer portal with Dom Decker at second and Noah Pano at short. Topher Grace at third. Topher Grace, here I am again. Topher Grace to act. Topher Jones at third. I mean, could that be a possibility? Third base is definitely somewhere. And then you start talking about the outfield. I mean, Hayden Federico, obviously coming back, is a huge piece to this team next year. And as we see some stats from or some video from Ethan Foster.
No, it's Charlie Foster.
Charlie Foster. Right field and left field. I mean, I think there's a combination of Cannon Golden, Mosley, freshman, maybe a new transfer. And so I think that's definitely some areas that Ole Miss has to look for. But you can't get enough pitching. And Ole Miss was so by the book this year pitching. I had a conversation this morning about the stretch run and about how it was pretty much textbook Taylor Rabe or Hunter Elliott, and then insert two guys, Hudson Calhoun, and then going with Walker Hooks, and then another guy, J.P. Robertson. Other than that, it was some dudes that were trying to figure it out. So tell me what that lineup's going to look like from a pitching standpoint. I mean, I think you can't get enough arms. But I think very much there's someone that could be on the roster right now that could take that step forward to be, you know, a more of a leadership role on the mound. But to me, I'm looking at two positions, and that's right and left field. Left field was a position that Ole Miss to this day hasn't figured out. I mean, they inserted Braden Randall, who did phenomenal work down the stretch to get Ole Miss to Omaha in the College World Series. still hadn't answered that question in left, and still hadn't answered that question in right. And I agree with William. Randall is a loss, specifically at the plate, hitting over, well over 400. But where was he going to play? Brayden Randall wanted to play the middle infield, and he had every right to look at options to do that. And so Ole Miss is just not going to have a spot in that middle infield defensively. But offensively, yeah, huge loss, I agree. So to answer your question, right and left field are my two big spots. But I do think third base is a huge spot too. I don't know. I mean, Topher Jones has a ways to come offensively. Defensively, can he get it done? Because Judd Uniwark became not only a liability at third baseman, he became one of the best defensive third basemen in the conference. He was really good at third base, played really well for the Rebels.
Yeah, the thing about Topher that I could kind of see, and I saw it on the Ole Miss Spirit message board, omspirit.com, the Fit of On3, that QR code on your screen. Mary's already mentioned it. You need to follow her lead, man. Mary's on the Ole Miss Spirit with us. So is William, and we love having y'all, bro. Come join us with that QR code, the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, the Fit of On3. Get it today. And while Ole Miss sports are out of season, we don't stop. All you got to do is scan that QR code. As a new member, join for half off an annual subscription. It's a Saturday in the off season, and Brad's in the mountains, and I'm sitting here in the Riverland Roofing Studios, New Albany branch. And guess what we're doing? Talking about Ole Miss sports, because things continue to happen, including Mississippi State left-hander Charlie Foster, the most recent addition for Ole Miss in his transfer portal class. Still got a ways to go. Still got things you got to get done. Need more offensive pieces. Trey Halsey's a great piece, but if you look at the lineup, it's still very much incomplete. If it's Halsey at first, I mean, Luke Roman's going to factor in at first as well, or DH. I'm curious if he can play any other positions. But that's a player, like, you're right. It wasn't great for him, and sometimes you were scratching your head as an Ole Miss fan going, why is he getting these opportunities in these key moments? And like, but toward the end of the year, he started to show up.
He did.
He really started.
Mike called him out, too.
Yeah. And, like, he's a guy that, like, Ole Miss truly believes could be an all-league caliber bat by the time he leaves Ole Miss, right? So, imagine if you'd given up – I saw this on the Ole Miss Spirit message board, too. One of our posters said something to the effect of, why are all these guys like Brett Mosley and Cannon Golden and Luke Roman, why are they staying in? We need spots from the portal. And I'm thinking, man, imagine if you'd given up on Tim Elko after 2 years.
Right.
His batting average after 2 years was .212, you know, like career batting average. Imagine if you'd given up on Judd Uniwark after 2 years, your all-time home run leader. I mean, very similar track. Like, that's part of the development piece and why I got, like, Mike and Clem and Laugh, like, why those dudes, Mangrum, make the big bucks is, like, not all developmental tracks are the same. And a lot of guys, there's so many cases. Greg Kessinger's one. Tim Elko's another. Judd Uniwark. We could go on and on here. A lot of guys need more time. And in a world where it's what have you done for me lately, more so than it's ever been, I understand that, like, dude, we don't got time for this, but Luke Roman's going to factor in for winning baseball at Ole Miss. They believe in him. They believe in the development and what he could be. So you don't just give up on that just because you want to go chase a shiny new toy that might not be as good as Luke Roman in year two, especially when you're trying to fill out a full lineup. I mean, he could be a DH. He could be first baseman. And again, I'm curious to see if they'll try him in maybe an outfield corner or something. I don't know. I don't know if he's got that ability, but he's one I'm watching. But you definitely, when you're looking at the class, they still need to add offense.
You know, Ben, one thing, too, that I have failed to mention, and I've been a huge advocate for Tate Sermons. I've watched him a number of times this year. Tate Sermons, yes. I've watched him a number of times in bat practice and just absolutely strokes the baseball. And I wish that would translate more to the field. And I hated to see that he was among those that are transferring out, because I believe he's going to be a good player wherever he lands. Now, I completely understand why he hasn't seen as many at-bats as others. And, you know, he struggled at the plate during crunch time, if you will. But I do hope that if he doesn't come back, man, I wish him all the best. But he's someone that I truly believe is going to turn into a really good college baseball player. So that's just the world that we live in, right? I mean, that's the NIL world where players go to other spots and they become really good, and maybe they don't. But I think in this case for Ole Miss, I'm kind of sad to see him go, because I was really excited to see what he could do down the road. Completely understand, mind you, but I am sad to see him go.
Well, that is the update on Ole Miss baseball portal recruiting. Obviously, still so much more to come. Hello, Matt Smith, my guy from the Ole Miss Spirit, saying morning, boys, there on the screen. Good morning. Hello, welcome in. If you're just joining us to Talk of Champions, I'm Ben Garrett at Spirit Ben on Twitter. He's Brad Logan at Brad Logan TOC. From the chat, from at Delta 77, Miss Avent 32. Ben, you said this team was built for Omaha last a couple weeks ago. Did Bianco overachieve or tap par going to the Supers? Did Bianco tap par going to Omaha with this team? I think it's a little better than tapping par. I really do. Going 0-2 in Omaha, I could understand why we say otherwise. Like I said, they were built for Omaha because the lineup is veteran. You heard Mike talk about this a lot. And this is where a lot of my opinion comes from, and it's backed up by analytics, man. Like in college baseball, older teams, especially lately in the NIL era, man, they're the ones that are making it. So when I said built for Omaha, the lineup featured guys who'd been here for years: Will Furniss, Judd Utomart, and I really like what they've done to supplement the roster around, specifically with Tristan Bassetta. I still think that what they accomplished. What I thought that they were capable of accomplishing. Don't let the ending 0-2 rob Ole Miss of the achievement. I think getting to a super, if anything, they overachieved, honestly, because they didn't have enough pitching, and the pitching that they did have kind of wore down on them. Hunter Elliott wasn't very good. Kay Townsend didn't pitch in the super or Omaha, and I heard he had a little dead arm or a little. Some injury or some kind.
Working through that during the Alabama series, you remember he had a very bad outing on that Saturday at Alabama in a crucial game. If Ole Miss wins that game against Alabama on Saturday, it hosts an NC2A regional. So, I think there's a lot of truth to that. And here's another conversation that people are having is, what happened to Walker Hoots and Hudson Calhoun down the stretch? Well, I mean, the season got to them. It's a long season. All these other pitchers in the SEC – they didn't make Omaha, we're back at the house. So they obviously weren't laboring like those two were. I mean, they gave everything they had, and I do not by any way besmirch the way that Mike handled the pitching staff down the stretch. If anything, I commend him. If you'll remember, in Omaha against North Carolina, Hudson Calhoun comes in. He's the arm to go to. Taylor Rabe has been magnificent, and Hudson just can't find the zone. And I think a lot of that is, number one, it's a tight zone, but two, I don't think the moment was too much for him. I think the season just kind of wears on arms like that, and it wears on Walker Hoots, and I think he struggled down the stretch. And I agree with you, Ben. I think the season just kind of got to both of them.
Yeah, Walker Hoots pitched more innings this year than he's ever pitched in a single season, the single year in his life. So he was going to wear down. He wasn't going to be – I mean, that as much as you try to protect him, this, that, and the other, when it got hairy – Mike went to Walker Hoots, man. He had no problem throwing as much usage on that arm as he could, but it's inevitably going to wear down. They didn't have enough options in pitching. That's why you've seen so far with their six additions through the transfer portal, five have been pitchers, and I don't think they're done. But they still have to add offensive players as well. And we'll obviously be covering it all here on Talk of Champions, but certainly all day, every day at the Ole Miss Spirit. OMSpirit.com and Fit of on 3 is that QR code on your screen. Man, join us today. Y'all want to know how y'all can help us the most? 5-star reviews wherever you get your podcast, of course, Talk of Champions and Apple Music, Spotify, of course, that helps. But the most helpful thing is if you haven't tried us out, just try us out. Scan that QR code. New members of the Ole Miss Spirit, half off an annual sub. We do this all day, every day. And we want to talk to y'all, man. Like, we want to be the place where Ole Miss fans can come and feel comfortable and feel like they can talk about whatever is their Ole Miss heart's desire. And that's what the Ole Miss Spirit, we hope at least, that's the culture we're trying to foster and create. At the Ole Miss Spirit, we'd love to have you there. The Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, and affiliate of On Three. From the chat, Johnny Ray, how was basketball practice?
Great question. Thanks, Johnny. I was going to ask the same thing.
Yeah, and I want to get to 10 things we believe about Ole Miss football in 2026, the title of today's podcast, sponsored as always by Riverland Roofing and Allen Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford, Shed Hunger of Modern Woodman, C Spire, Game Day Haircuts. I'm going through the whole Rolodex. So many people that have done. Hearn Law Firm, Drew Moak of USA Benefits Group, B&A Bank. So many have done so much for us. You'll hear from them here shortly. But I was told to show up at 2:00. I'd get to watch practice and then talk to Beard. Well, as I was walking in, I took Gracie, my oldest daughter, with me. Elias Carmadine was walking out. So I went, practice is apparently over, or Elias is missing it. Turns out that I was misinformed by the person who set it up, or like they just, I don't know. But did get to watch practice, but got to sit down and talk with Beard in his office and about a number of different things. Got to talk to some of the new players, just not on the record for the new players, but certainly on the record for Beard, who said that the assistant, you know, he's still got assistants left to hire, and it's friggin' June. He thinks one of those could be done within the next couple of weeks, and some of it, a lot of it, at least some of it, though, is tied directly to the international piece. As
And by the way, while Ben's, hold on 1 second, Ben, go ahead and get you get that worked out. You can read all about it on the Ole Miss Spirit at OMSSpirit.com. Ben had a pretty detailed article about his conversation with Coach Chris Beard, and there'll be more to come. There's also a media availability next week with Chris Beard. We'll have full coverage for you on the Ole Miss Spirit. That's an affiliate of On3 at OMSSpirit.com. I'll be there. Jake will be there. There'll be full audio and video. But being that one-on-one interview is when you can really get that information. I know you enjoyed that.
I did. Thank you for covering for me as got caught up in a coughing fit. Again, the traitor's party got to me, man. I played it right. You'd have been proud of me. Emily was mad at me by the end of the night because because you're a traitor. You're supposed to be a liar and a traitor. Don't ask me to play the game. So I played the game a little help, you know, from some liquid courage to make sure that I played it the way it needed to play. And I'm firing myself up this morning. I'm glad to talk to Brad because I really feel like I hadn't talked to my friend all week.
It's been a little while. Yeah,
I'm not used to not talking to Brad. I'm so glad you're getting that time with your family. But yeah, like I walked in and Elias is walking out, so I didn't get to see practice. But sitting down with Beard, it was really cool. And one of the biggest takeaways was I think there's going to be at least one assistant hire made within the next couple of weeks, and it's connected at least a little bit. If not more than a little bit, it's certainly connected a little bit to the international players that Ole Miss could soon potentially add in Ben Henshaw and Mojave King, two Australian professional basketball players. King was actually drafted by the Lakers a couple years ago, played in the G League, got his draft rights traded to the Pacers. And with that ruling in May, and I tried to ask him both on and off the record about that ruling in May, he didn't get a ton on it, but I don't sense that there's at least from Ole Miss, because like 60 power four players are going to be impacted or could be potentially impacted by this ruling in May, where the NCAA is essentially saying there could be at least a little bit more, a lot more restrictions put on professional players being signed by colleges. But like that means Will Wade's roster could get raided, whatever, on and on and on. Bottom line is they're going to be a 14 team roster, is what Chris said. Two, he didn't say that it was Henshaw and King that they're waiting on, but they're waiting on those two. And that assistant hire that could come within the next couple of weeks, I think, could be tied to some of that. But there's three, I think, spots overall to replace, not just Wes Flanagan and Bob Dunawall, who left for other opportunities, but Chris, who was one of their video guys, he's now the director of ops at Texas A&M, so you got to get one of those two. Mostly we talked a lot about, because he's got a really cool office. We sat there, and he's got two paintings. I don't think he cares about it. He's got two paintings from a local artist in Texas of Biggie and Tupac. And Biggie's got a crown on. Tupac's got a bandana on. And right now they're wearing Ole Miss shirts. And every time he goes somewhere, he's had these forever. And every new stops, he sends them back to the painter, and they paint it like the new on there. Like last it was Texas, now it's Ole Miss. He's that, you know, Texas Tech, all that kind of stuff. It's really cool to see. He's a collectibles guy in terms of like really cool collectible things from his career. Not a ton in his office. And I thought that was really neat because we talked about, you know, 90s rap for a minute. You know, East Coast, West Coast shit. And it was really, really fun. But in terms of basketball, someone asked in the chat, let's find it. What did you think of the talent level of basketball? One, it changes completely if you add Henshaw and King. I think it really does change. Because like I was looking at projections for a 76-team NCAA tournament, and Ole Miss was left out of all of them. I don't think that they need these two players, and I think it separates them in a different way. Roman Sipula really impressed me as far as his physicality. He's taller than I expected, built like a brick shit house. I think he can really be, like, former rugby player too. He cares. I think he could be a real physical presence for them down low. I love what Santiago Truett could be. I mean, he averaged like 9-6 last year at Arizona State. I think there's some offensive potential that they still believe they can tap into with him. He looks like a next level player. Will he be one? Will he emerge one? I don't know. They've gotten longer. There's better size on this team. But last year, I mean, everybody and their mother, not just if you call us homers, but like every national guy, even Chris would say, we know this is a good team, and they went 15 and 20. So while I look at that team and go, oh, I can start to see the pieces. I can start to see what he's what, like the vision and what he's going for. I still think that this team, in order to really compete, needs the two players that they're waiting on, Ben Henshaw and Mojave King. So I think some basketball movement could really start popping off here in the next month.
Hey, did Coach have any conversation pieces about the extended NCAA tournament? Did he have any when you kind of brought that up?
No, not really. I mean, because for him, I think Chris, if he to a man, and I think every coach would admit this. Like, I appreciate Mike Yoko saying, like, honestly, they all want expansion. They all do.
Yeah,
because it's more opportunity. It looks better to make the 76 team NCAA tournament. Say, well, I made the NCAA tournament 8 times in a row, rather than go, I made twice and then 6 times went to the NIT, if the NIT even really exists. You know what I mean? Like, just like with bowls and how bowls have been de-emphasized in the era of the college football playoff. Same thing with an expanded NCAA tournament. No one cares about the NIT. It's going to kill all that other stuff. But like, coaches want that because all you're judged by is that anyway. Are you playing in March? So, in my opinion, I think if he was being honest, he would be like, yeah, I'm all for it. You know what I mean? More opportunity to get in, because every coach understands that they're like, that's all it is now. Did you get in? Did you get into the playoff? Right? No one remembers who played in the Gator Bowl in 2024 except Ole Miss fans. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
For him, the NCAA tournament expansion, I think, as with all coaches, it's a no-brainer for them. For us that really just want to enjoy the sport, I hate it. I hated it when it expanded to 68, but 76, and it's not going to stop at 76, you know, and that's the part that frustrates the hell out of me. But yeah, I think all coaches would admit, if they're being completely truthful, that like, yeah, you expand that bad boy as long as you want to, you know what I mean?
Ben, did you get any gauge from Coach Beard? Of all people, he's one of the more difficult people to read. But this upcoming season's an interesting one on a number of levels. Did you get any type of read on him about his thoughts about maybe how last year went and maybe heading into this season and maybe the importance of this season, one way or the other, from Coach the other day?
I do think that he understands the urgency of the season ahead. And that's why he's in no rush. That's why he's working at his own pace for what he believes is in the best interest for this really important year for him personally, professionally, Ole Miss, obviously, right? I mean, he's taking his time, and the deliberate nature of his process is intentional because he understands the urgency. That's why he's like, hey, well, have you hired any assistants yet? Well, no, because it's connected to the international piece. It's a very bizarre, complicated puzzle, right? And especially when, like, Ole Miss didn't jack up his money as far as transfer player and roster procurement and roster building. If Ole Miss was paying $8 million last year, and I think that's around what the number was, $8 to $10 million, to put the roster together, it's about that this year. Now, last year, that was pretty darn good, middle of the pack at least. Well, now the cost of doing business is about double that. So there's had to be, like, and justifiably so, Ole Miss fans said, hey, well, we poured $8 to $10 million in and got 15 and 20. Here's $8 to $10 million, but like, we're not going up on it. But you have to get more creative because the cost of doing business every year rises because of the culture that we now operate in college athletics. Does that make sense? So like,
yeah,
like he's working within the parameters that have been allowed to him, and it's incomplete. I like some of the pieces. Patton Pinkins and Elias Carmardine have to take year two steps, significant year two steps. I love the potential of what, like, Santiago Truett, to me, could really be something. And they love Roman Sipula. Maybe he's not the next level player or projectable player as Truett or even Cisic, but like, the length is there. But we heard about rim protection and being bigger and longer with Corey Test. So for me, all of it is very much a wait and see, right? I have a story up on the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, Fleet of On Three, about the freshmen. But like, Ole Miss signed 3 top 100 freshmen last year, and only one remains in Patton Pinkins, right? So there's some things I like. But there are some things that are legitimately questionable, including not having the staff done. Where are the final pieces of the roster? It's still very much incomplete. And a lot of that has to do with just what Chris is operating with this time around, if that makes sense. So I'm waiting to pass judgment. I didn't get to see practice like I wanted to, like I was expecting to. Definitely want to have some observations and stuff. I'm going to get out there for sure. But from my conversation with Beery, which is a great conversation, we just sat there and chilled and talked about stuff for a minute. And seeing the guy that I talked to shaking hands with Roman Cipolla, I can see the vision. It's just, it's still incomplete, Brad. And against the backdrop of 15 and 20, I'm still very much to wait and see. Did I walk over there and get blown away? No. No, but like I wasn't expecting to. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, yeah, I do.
It doesn't matter what happens between now and tip off in November. Buddy, I'm going to have to wait and see. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
because like, we all got burned last year.
Yeah. But we did see what happened in the latter part of the season. Do I think that has any indication for what's happening this year? No, but I do think that Chris Beard kind of felt, okay, maybe he worked some things out. I do think that helps heading into the transfer portal season. Now, I don't think that has any indication about players seeing how well they did in the conference tournament and saying, hey, I'm going to go there. I do believe that does help this coaching staff, mainly Chris Beard, kind of gear up for the transfer portal season. So one quick – by the way, I agree with old memes here. I don't know how much I'm buying the take, but I do think there's a chance this year's team could be more successful than last year's team. Chemistry is missing and Beard will reset. I absolutely agree with that. I do think they will reset. I think they will be better. I don't know how much better they will be. Ben, I want to also mention something real quick so it's not lost in the shuffle here. There's a lot of stuff happening over in the chat. You got a conversation coming up about with Keith Carter here very soon. I know one thing's going to be about this RFP and about the stadium renovation in the north end zone. And I know that's one of the many questions you'll be asking Keith Carter.
Yep, Keith Carter will be on the podcast, Ole Miss Athletics Director, next Wednesday. So any questions that y'all or topics like this that y'all want touched on, got a thread started at the Ole Miss Spirit, olemissspirit.com. Fit them on three, scan that QR code, half off an annual sub for new members. Get your questions in. I'll ask them directly to Keith or get them in right now. Stadium renovations will certainly be – is certainly on the docket for the things I'm going to ask Keith about, as well as him being added to the selection committee for basketball. I mean, there's a lot of stuff – across all sports. So, yes, Keith Carter next Wednesday live here on Talk of Champions. Brad hopefully will be with us too. Yeah, you know, you still be with us too. Because I missed having Brad around, man. I love – me and Zach will be back too, still doing the recruiting pods, but it's just like I got so used to my guy Brad and I hadn't seen the spiky hair in a week. I'm like, dang, I didn't even get the spiky hair today. Got the Braves hat on for you, you know, which I love. But, yes, Keith Carter will be on next Wednesday. So I'll ask him about the stadium renovations and all those things. I definitely want to update specifically on the mixed-use development around Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. Like, I would love to know ballparkish. I'm not saying you got to go, all right, in March 2028. I'm just saying ballparkish, you know?
Yeah.
When do you think that would open up, right? Because, like, I heard when that does go down, billion with the B. Not million, billion with the B as far as the money that could come in, the amounts of money. But, like, that's a massive, massive, massive undertaking, dude.
Yeah, and I think everybody wants to see that stadium expanded. Everybody wants to see something done to that north end zone. The possibility, could students be moved down the line in Vaught-Hemingway Stadium? What's going to happen, number one, from a capacity standpoint, and number two, that's a sun. That is a big, big sunspot from 11 until about 3 or 4. So definitely something to be looking for. One more quick thing, Ben, before we get too far. Had a chance to go to a Braves game the other day. I told you about that. Visited with friend of the program, Ben Ingram. Ben says hello. He is the voice of the Atlanta Braves on the Atlanta Braves Radio Network. And it's so cool to see a former Mississippian. Well, I say a former. He lives in Atlanta. He'll always be a Mississippian. But it's always cool to see Ole Miss fans succeed out there. But it's really cool to see someone from Mississippi that's an Ole Miss fan that is the voice of the Atlanta Braves. And so Ben says hello, and he's just one of the many people you can catch here on the Talk of Champions. We kind of have a very expanded guest audience, and, you know, we may be talking Braves one moment. It just so happens to be Ben and our favorite Major League Baseball team. But you can get pretty much anything here at the Talk of Champions. We want to ask that you please – subscribe, rate, and review all of our podcasts wherever you download your podcasts, whether it be Apple, Spotify, or whatever your listening platform is. Also, go to the Ole Miss Spirit. That's OMSpirit.com. It's affiliate on three. And then if you're watching us live on YouTube, hit that bell, subscribe, comment. We appreciate everybody jumping on here to talk to champions. I am on location deep in the Blue Ridge Mountains, and I'm with our church group. I'm a chaperone and excited to be a part of this wonderful week that I've had here in the mountains. And so God has been wonderful to our group, and he's been good to me. And so I'm honored to join you guys today, talk a little bit of Ole Miss sports. I'll be back full force next week, but have really enjoyed time away. And I will say, completely off the reservation, if you have a moment to kind of unplug from whatever your profession is, Ben and I can attest to you, please do that. Unplug the phone, unplug the headset, and go enjoy God's nature, if you will. Whatever it is that you like to unplug from and go enjoy, I encourage you at some point over the summer, please do that. Spend some time with your family, and I promise you'll be better for it. So it's been wonderful the last couple of days here, so it's great to be back. Had a chance to be with Ben. We stopped for a Braves game before we headed to North Carolina, so that was really cool. Ben, I was on a couple of podcasts and interviewed by a couple of different places. Everybody's kind of still talking about last year, but they're really excited about this 2026 football season. And I know we've got 10 things we believe about Ole Miss football to be true. I'll be honest, I've got a couple of questions, Ben, that we need to talk about as well.
Yep, and we're going to get to those in just a second. Let's hear from some of our sponsors. This is Talk of Champions.
Homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
Rebels, your truck is here. Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Oxford presents the all-new Ram Rebel. It's Ram, the Rebel way. Send an unmistakable signal. Rebel, 24/7. Ram Rebel, from your friend in the car business. Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Oxford.
Come by, let's be friends.
I'm Warrior Philip Hearn. Raising my family here in Mississippi, I've tried to teach my kids to help others. I learned that from my parents. And as a Mississippi lawyer, I want to help you too. If you're hurt in a traffic accident, 18-wheeler wreck, or have insurance trouble, call 601-720-3541. That's my cell. You call, I'll answer. Let's get started. Make your first call to the Hearn Law Firm today.
Start my weekend
your day on the Network for Connected Living. There's more to see. C Spire. Customer inspired.
One thing I've realized covering Ole Miss is I'm almost always on the move. Whether it's football camps, SEC media days coming up, baseball or basketball, I'm living out of my truck half the summer. That's one reason I've become such a fan of Quince. I've been wearing their linen shirts a lot lately because they're lightweight, breathable, and comfortable enough to wear all day, whether I'm outside covering recruiting or sitting down to record Talk of Champions. They just work. I also like that Quince cuts out the middlemen, so you're getting really high-quality clothing without paying luxury brand prices. Make your summer wardrobe easier. Go to quince.com/TOC for Talk of Champions. Quince.com/TOC for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's Quince, Quince.com/TOC for free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/TOC.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Summer is supposed to be relaxing, right? But if you're anything like me, sometimes it feels like the exact opposite. Between work, family, travel, kids' schedules, and trying to keep up with everything else life throws at you, it's easy to spend the whole summer surviving instead of actually enjoying it. I know for me, one of the biggest challenges is making time for myself. There's always another story to write, another podcast to record, another event to cover. Before you know it, the calendar is full and you've never really slowed down. That's one reason therapy can be so valuable. It can help you better understand your needs, set boundaries, and build a version of summer that actually feels good instead of one that leaves you exhausted. BetterHelp has more than 30,000 licensed therapists and has served more than 6 million people worldwide. A short questionnaire helps match you with a therapist based on your needs and preferences. And if you don't feel like it's the right fit, you can switch to another therapist at any time. You don't have to say yes to everything this summer. Find support in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com/TOC. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/TOC. One thing I've learned over the years doing this job is that you never really know what somebody else is carrying. We spend a lot of time talking football, recruiting, and Ole Miss. But life's a lot bigger than sports. Everybody goes through seasons where they need somebody to talk to. That's one reason I found BetterHelp's latest State of Stigma report interesting. BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of Americans believe getting support is wise. Yet 74% say society discourages people from doing so. It's kind of a reminder that even though we've gotten better about talking about mental health, asking for help can still be difficult. If somebody in your life is struggling, don't be afraid to encourage them to talk to someone. Sometimes having that conversation is the hardest step. Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com. Our thanks to C Spire, Alan Samuels, Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford, Game Day Haircuts, the Hearn Law Firm, Shed Hunger of Modern Woodmen, who you can call today if you're planning for life using a variety of tools, including life insurance, annuities, mutual funds, and variable annuities. Call Shed today at 662-442-4723. That's 662-442-4723. As the title says, for this edition of Talk of Champions, we were going to come in here and talk about the 10 things we believe about Ole Miss football to be true in 2026. David Holly, at David Holly 9271, says, ask Keith, who's coming on Talk of Champions next week, to tell Game Day you're not welcome September 19th. Is that Game Day's not welcome or Ben's not welcome?
I think it's Game Day. To be fair to David's They're question, coming. They are coming, and it's not going to be a pretty sight because Nick Saban has done nothing but blast Ole Miss. You know, over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, a lot of people on that stage has not been very kind to Ole Miss during the whole Lane Kiffin, Pete Golding fiasco. And I'm going to be interested to see, you know, Paul Feinbaum as well, if SEC Nation comes. But I'll be generally interested to see how that reception is going to be.
It's the Summer Truth-Telling Show here on June 20th, 2026. He's Brad Logan, at Brad Logan TOC. I'm Ben Garrett, at Spirit Ben. Sign up at the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, and affiliate of On 3. This is Rapid Fire. It's an agree or disagree. You can expand if you want to. The first of my Summer Truth-Telling, Trinidad Chambliss is the best quarterback in college football. I saw recently Aaron Murray released his top 10 quarterbacks in college football. Trinidad Chambliss came in at number 5, and you might go, wait, who are the 4 in front of him? Well, Arch yeah. Manning, C.J. Carr, Julian Sand, Dante Moore. If the logo was anything else, I feel like Trinidad, there wouldn't even be a question. For me, of the 10 things we know to be true, I wouldn't take Trinidad anybody else over Trinidad Chambliss as far as the quarterback. I won't lead my football team in 2026. Do you believe, agree or disagree, starting off the rapid-fire summer truth-telling, Trinidad Chambliss, the best quarterback in college football?
I don't think there's any doubt, and I think we'll see that at the end of the year. The Davey O'Brien Award for the best quarterback in the country, I think I'm saying that right. I think he will be the winner. We'll see soon enough. If you look at Ole Miss's schedule, September the 24th, when Ole Miss goes to Austin to face Texas, I think that's going to – I'm sorry, October 24th. That's going to say a lot about, you know, where Texas is going to be at that moment. I mean, I do think that there are a lot of people talking about Steve Sarkisian and this Texas team being – you know, a preeminent power in the SEC. And, you know, a lot of pressure was put on Arch Manning when he came to Austin. I think a lot of that pressure really backed off when they saw that he just wasn't ready for the big moment. I do think Arch is a really good quarterback. And I think, you know, putting those pieces around him like a Cam Coleman will definitely help him. But I think in large part, what happens with Ole Miss on the offensive line and, you know, who steps up a receiver. But at the end of the day, Trinidad Chambliss makes other people better. He makes his offensive line better and he makes his receivers better. So I do believe he'll be the best quarterback by the end of the year without question. I think he's the best quarterback heading into the season too.
All right, so we both agree. Trinidad Chambliss is not getting the love he necessarily deserves, in our opinion, especially from guys like Aaron Murray, who had him fifth, which makes no sense.
All jokes aside, unless that's some type of clickbait and some type of situation to where you're looking to generate some type of algorithm for people to have to or engagement farming. That's the most ridiculous, or else he has no idea what he's talking about. It's one of those two things.
All right, so we agree Trinidad is the best quarterback in college football. We wouldn't trade him for anyone. The second one of the Summer Truth Telling Show, 10 things we believe about Ole Miss football in 2026. While Trinidad Chambliss might, in my opinion, be the best quarterback in college football, and I wouldn't trade him for anybody else, regardless of what Aaron Murray says, I still think, and I said this on Chuck Oliver on Wednesday, he asked about William Eccles being Ole Miss's best player, and I would say yes, William Eccles is Ole Miss's best player. That'd be the second thing. Even though Trinidad is the best quarterback, Keywon, we'll talk about him and his NFL draft projections coming up and being one of the best. If you made me say who is the best player on Ole Miss's roster right now, I'm going William Eccles.
And it'd be hard to push back against that. You know, he's a talented product out of Houston, Mississippi. By the way, Ben, I don't know if you saw it, but he posted to where he went back home to Houston, and he's a huge part of that community. His mom, Regina, posted on socials about him going back. So you've heard me talk a lot about this Ole Miss baseball team having good players, but being really good people. Judd Utomar, Will Furness, Hayden Federico, and Tristan Macedo. All of them are good people, and it's really cool to see William do that with his team. I'm really leaning – I hate to disagree with it, but I truly believe if Ole Miss is going to win a national championship and they're going to get to the playoff and they're going to win 10 wins, I truly believe it's behind the legs of Keywon Lacy. I think he's, to me, the best player on the team, and I think he has to have the best season for Ole Miss to have a good season. So to me, I'm going to go Keywon Lacy. So I'm going to disagree, but I'm not really disagreeing that William Eccles is one of the best players in the country. I'm going to lean towards Keywon Lacy being the best player on this roster.
Agree or disagree, the number three of the 10 things we believe about Ole Miss football in 2026, Keywon Lacy will be a first-round NFL draft pick. I think that one
– Yeah. I thought you were going to ask me a question, too. Is Keywon Lacy the best running back in the country? And I was going to say it's either him or Ahmad Hardy. I mean, we could argue about some other players, but I don't think any running back is going to go through a season like Hardy and Lacy will go through. Now, we can talk about other programs in the Big Ten and in the ACC, and I get all that, Big 12, but no running back we put through the gauntlet quite like Missouri and Ole Miss, Lacy and Hardy. So I think both those running backs would be there. But anyway, I've completely derailed your question. Go ahead, Ben. First round? Yeah, absolutely. He's going to go first round.
Yeah, first round pick. I saw recently someone was writing about maybe ESPN talking about draft positioning for some SEC players and talked about how good of a pass protector Keywon Lacy is, which is nice, but he is an elite pass protector, and that's what separates him. Everyone knows I saw a player comp like Josh Jacobs for the Packers, Raiders. Like, Josh Jacobs makes sense for Keywon. Josh is a little bigger physically, but, like, running style and stuff like that. But what separates Keywon, and I'm not saying that, like, Ahmad Hardy doesn't do this well either. I haven't really broken down the film of Ahmad Hardy's elite pass protection or pass protection in general. But Keywon's pass protection, that's what separates him. He is not a good pass protector. He's an elite pass protector, and that's why I think that's what separates him and makes him, in my opinion, no doubt slam dunk. Because he does what he does last year, again this year, if not better, he will be a first-round NFL draft pick. Number four of the 10 things we believe about Ole Miss football in 2026, I'm going to go ahead and disagree with it. But it opens up a bigger conversation. Pete Golding is already a top five SEC coach. Disagree, but I saw something this week. Chris Lowe released his top 16 or ranked the 16 SEC head coaches. He had Pete at number 12. I think the reason I pushed back immediately is because Shane Beamer was above him, and I just think Shane Beamer shouldn't be anywhere higher than 15th at this point. But really, it's fair for what Chris's breakdown of it was, because one thing I push back against is Pete's done something most everybody else hasn't done. He's won playoff games. He's got two playoff wins, but he hasn't coached a full season, so 12 is pretty fair. I'm going to disagree with myself, and I'm sure you will too, but I wanted to open up a bigger conversation. What does he need to do then to make that case with this team? I mean, if he takes Ole Miss to the college football playoff, if they fall a play short, or they play for their first title since the 60s, which is very much a possibility with a first-round NFL draft pick. William Echols is going to be a first-rounder. Trinidad Chambliss is, in my opinion, the best returning quarterback in college football. If they win 10 games, even with that schedule, and make it as far as they did last year, I think at the very least, Pete's got to be seventh? Seventh?
Yeah.
I mean, in my opinion, he'll have accomplished more than everybody else.
I know. And here's the part about it is he's done everything that Ole Miss has asked of him to do. It just has – the body of work is not there. It will be soon enough. So whether you have him 5 or 15, by the end of the year, you'll definitely have your gauge on what type of head coach Pete Golding is, because – all he did was come in a terrible situation, righted the ship, and all of a sudden Ole Miss was in the college football playoff. And, oh, by the way, they beat the hottest team in college football in Georgia and won its first college football playoff game on campus, which was incredible, and then fell just a little bit short on a non-call defensive pass interference on Miami before playing in a national championship against Indiana. Who knows what would have happened there. So Pete Golding has done everything that has been asked of him. That's why I don't put a lot of stock into these polls. But anything less than 5 or 6, I'm not buying that, because none of those other coaches have won a college football playoff game. I don't care how many years they've been doing it.
Ole Miss will finish with a better record than LSU. Agree or disagree?
I agree with that. I think Ole Miss will finish 9 or 10 wins by the end of the year, and I don't think LSU will. And that's no indictment on LSU. It's just the first year of a head coach that's coming over that's done well in the transfer portal, but the schedule is so difficult for LSU. So I think I'm leaning LSU more of an 8-4 team, and I think I'm leaning Ole Miss more of a 9-3 team right now as we talk here in June.
I could see LSU finishing with 10 wins, including the bowl.
Mm-hmm.
A lot will depend on what happens September 19th for those teams. Do I think it's
that's exactly right. Game? Yeah.
Do I think it's the ultimate swing game for both of them? Not necessarily, but it could
it's
be.
It's more swing for LSU. You know, the problem for LSU is that if they lose that game, Ben, I think it hurts them more than it hurts Ole Miss, just from a record standpoint, because they've got so many difficult games coming. Ole Miss does too. But a lot of their games are on the road. They've got Alabama next year. And so I really think it means a little bit more to LSU as we look at all of this here in June.
7.5 wins, the sixth thing of the 10 things we believe about Ole Miss football in 2026. Agree or disagree, 7.5 wins is the projected win total is disrespectful.
Not only, it makes you wonder who puts this stuff out, because, I mean, you look at Ole Miss's schedule and it's very easily, I think, the floor for this team is 8 wins, the floor. And I think the ceiling is anywhere from 10 to 11. So with the roster it has coming back on offense and defense, and I've somewhat talked myself into this, because I've said Ole Miss has – I think they have not only more, a lot more talent on both the offense and defense than they had last year, specifically defense. But I do think the schedule is much more difficult than last year. So – I think somewhere in between 9 or 10 wins. But, yeah, I mean, that's 7.5. I don't know what they're looking at. But if Ole Miss wins 7 games, they've had some losses that we're not anticipating, which means they've had multiple injuries to come away with only 7 wins.
Agree or disagree, the number 7 of the top 10 things we believe about Ole Miss football in 2026, agree or disagree that Pete Golding will be suspended at least 1 game for the Dabo stuff?
I disagree with that. In fact, I disagree wholeheartedly. And here's why. Nobody has told me this from an administration standpoint, but I truly believe that this administration, led by Keith Carter, led by Dr. Glenn Boyce, is going to fight tooth and nail for its university. Secondly, I don't think it was any accident that Dabo Swinney went on the record with Chris Lowe and very, very quickly walked back those comments about going nuts on Ole Miss. I think he got way out in front of his skis when he went after Ole Miss in that public forum. And here's another thing, and I'll end with this. I think if you're agents in the agent community and you're overseeing college athletes in the NIL world, I think that tells agents, Dabo Swinney and Clemson are the last people I want to deal with when it comes to transfer portal and acquisitions and movement, because of the way that you're going to go on blast. Never mind the fact that it was Ole Miss that he went after. It was the fact that he went after a sitting head coach in college of a program at another conference, and he went after him hard. And he went after him with information that very much a lot of it could have been fabricated. So I am absolutely to the fact where I'm not buying that Pete Golding sits out one game for Ole Miss. I'll be very surprised if there's very many sanctions that come from it.
I think at the very – at worst, he sits out for, like, Sisters of the Poor, Charlotte or something. You know, like, yeah. But even then, I thought it was interesting that Dabo softened his stance this week. I'm not trying to get anybody in trouble. I'm not trying to get anybody in trouble.
It's exactly what he did. Yeah.
And it's almost like, well, is that because you didn't realize that, you know, Clemson gave Luke Farrelly a car? You know what I mean? And like, everybody's hands are dirty. And here's the hard truth. And this is why I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. Every time I see On3 tweet out another quote from Dabo, and I have to quote tweet it and mention it because it's an Ole Miss story. Financial grant and aid papers are not binding. They aren't binding. They aren't.
Put on a loop. Yep.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills, and I'm not.
This is a great point, Ben. This is a great point. I ask you this question. The Delta 77 just asked us, is this Dabo's legacy now?
He's trying to make it.
After all the national championships.
Win title and win so much, and all you're going to be known for is the guy that complained as the ship was going down, you know? Like, yeah. Right now, when you ask a Dabo question, the first thing that comes to mind is not, well, he won a title. What's the first thing that comes to mind? Complaining about tampering and Pete Golding and just like nobody likes a narc, nobody likes a snitch at the bottom and the end of all things. If you really want to get technical, you can say, well, he cheated. No, he didn't, according to the rules that don't exist. And financial grant name papers aren't binding. They aren't. And Ole Miss has the same complaints that you have. They just didn't do it in the press conference about Devin Harper and TJ Dottery, and really about Devin Harper and Prince Will, who both resigned.
What have we heard from Keith Carter and Pete Golding in regards to this?
Not a lot. Pete's just said, you know, Pete's done a great job of addressing it by not addressing it. Like, even when he talks about it, he doesn't say anything. And he's not going to say much anyway because Ole Miss believes in this culture, rally around your program, you know, circle the wagons and hold the line. Because, you know, you can yell into the void all you want, but, I mean,
I have a question here. I'd love people's thoughts in the chat. Ben, I'd love your thoughts. Is Ole Miss rooting for Clemson or LSU in week one? I would love everybody to let me know who they're rooting for.
I'm all
what,
in.
What about it, Ben?
Mutually shared destruction sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Whatever that looks like. I don't want anybody to get hurt. None of that, but it'd be great if both could lose. But if you're making me pick between Dabo and Lane and LSU, let Lane and LSU beat Clemson in week one, get the Dabo stuff out of the way, and then set the stage perfectly for September 19th. I want Lane and LSU at full strength. You know, I want them feeling themselves. I want all of it. All the smoke when they roll into Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. So let Clemson get beat. Let Lane feel himself. And then whip his ass September 19th.
I think that's the right answer. I think that's the right answer.
Yeah. All right, only a few more left of the 10 things we know to be true or we believe to be true about Ole Miss football in 2026 as we wrap this up. Lucas Caniero is Ole Miss's safest All-American bet. Agree or disagree?
100% agree. I think he's already got it locked up. I mean, it just has to completely fall apart. You know, I went back and watched a lot of stuff over the last couple of weeks, and one thing I went back and watched was that Georgia game in the Sugar Bowl. And just the nerves of steel. And I think in large part, you look at what Pete Golding has done from an operation standpoint, from a game management standpoint, and it's been really cool to watch just how cool it's been, how he's navigated special teams, kicking field goals, punting. But in this case, what he's done from a place-kicking standpoint, kicking field goals, when you got an option like a Lucas Carneiro, I think he's absolutely the safest bet.
Two more. The offensive tackles determine the season. Agree or disagree as far as the Ole Miss truths, the 10 Ole Miss truths we believe to be true about Ole Miss football in 2026.
Yeah. The only thing I push back from that would be, does the wide receivers, how do they come around? Real quick, you look at the tackle positions with Terrence Davis, Enoch Wangoy, Tommy Kinsler IV, and Kerryous Kern. Those are the four names that people are talking about. And obviously Kerryous Kern had his issues, but everything that we've been led to believe is he's back in the good graces. So that's the biggest question there. Now what happens from a wide receiver standpoint, I think Deuce Alexander is absolutely the name that everybody's kind of looking at to be the linchpin in that wide receiver room. But if I do push back, it's only because of the wide receiver position. I think it may be more important.
Kerryous Kern, it's time, buddy. They need you. Tommy Kinsler would be one of those starters today. Terrence Davis would probably be the other one. But they don't feel great about anybody right now, because spring, while they saw some good things from Terrence and some good things from Tommy, they need to see more. And Kerryous Kern, you need to get off your rear end, stop screwing up, and start doing things right.
Yeah.
I think, being one of the highest NIL earners offensively for Ole Miss signed in the offseason, there's more than just an expectation of being I do think there's
more opportunity at wide receiver than at tackle and in guard on the offensive line. So I do think with Horatio Fields, Isaiah Spencer, Daryl Gill, Jonte Cook, Caleb Cunningham, Cameron Miller. I mean, it's just so many names you can rattle off in that wide receiver room. So I think the upside is much more at wide receiver.
And then the last one, the 10 things we believe to be true about Ole Miss football in 2026, that the Ole Miss defensive, quote, issues are terribly overblown. I've seen it from J.D. Pickle. I've seen it from other national analysts. Yeah, they got Trinidad and Kiwan, but that defense, they averaged, or they gave up 4 yards per carry last year on the ground. Miami got pushed around, to which I've said until I'm blue in the face, yeah, did you see what happened with T.J. Dotter and Prince Will? Did you see those guys get pushed around? They improved at all three levels on defense this offseason. Defensive line. If William Echols is the best player on this roster, which I believe to be true, Cam Franklin's entering year three as a breakout sophomore, now as a junior, as an all-league caliber player. Mike Arborio, though he didn't have a great spring, got to get loose some weight, all that kind of stuff. Mike Arborio is a guy, a defensive tackle, three tech that Florida absolutely wanted to keep, was going to start for them this year. Sharif Denson was going to start for Florida. He's already in the nickel. Like, Sharif alone would have had – at least a case to be one of Ole Miss, if not the best, one of the best defensive backs they had last year. And right now, like, he's just a part of the group. Jonel Aguero, Edwin Joseph is finally going to be back after sitting out the spring because of an injury that they already knew he was having. You return both your starting corners and add an all-SEC caliber NFL-type corner, Jay Crawford. They've improved at all three levels. And I haven't even talked about Luke Farrelly and Keaton Thomas, for goodness sake. I think all of this discussion, trying to knock Ole Miss or find reasons to not rank Ole Miss where it deserves, a lot of it is based on old material and old criticisms that really don't hold up when you look at what they've done. And I agree with Ben saying Clown Posse. We don't talk enough about the depth. A guy like a Jam Brown behind William Echols, behind Mike Arborio. What about Baby Maddox? Man, y'all don't sleep on Baby Maddox, D-tackle now. That kid's coming on. And what they did in the portal, they crushed it, especially on the defensive side. There are legitimate questions about this team. They're legitimate questions, specifically at offensive tackle.
Yes.
There's like Luke Haas, can you stay healthy at tight end? All right. Your greatest ability needs to be your availability at state being on the field. But like defense, if you're knocking Ole Miss or you're giving them a 7.5 win total, which we both agree is too low, based off of 4 yards per carry last year, last year after the historic 2024 defense didn't get him into the playoff, Lane doubled down on offense at the expense of the defensive roster. So guys that shouldn't have been starting were, because you had no choice, like not to knock him, but Sage Ryan was bad. But like he was what you had. This year you have Edwin Joseph, and Jonelle Aguero and Sharif Denson. And that's just the start. Jay Crawford. They had Sage Ryan and everybody else. This year, it's different. So in my opinion, those defensive concerns are overblown and are just being used as an excuse by national media types to knock Ole Miss when they deserve more credit than they're getting.
Yeah, completely agree. And again, I'm not taking, you know, taking up for the national pundits. But I will say they've got a lot more teams to look at than just one team in Oxford, Mississippi. So I do believe it's just an education piece. By not understanding the in-depthness, if you will, that we go into roster retention, the way that Ole Miss has gone in the portal with NIL. And I think you just nailed it. The back half of that defense was just, you know, I don't want to say they were bad, Ben, but they were not very good down the stretch. They were bad tackling, and they were okay throughout the season, but they did not have depth, and the talent deficiencies at corner really, really, you know, showed its head against Miami. I don't have to tell anybody that that last drive by Miami was probably – I mean, we were told in press availabilities with different players and different recruits telling us that that play, that Miami game was being played on a loop at different points during inside the Manning Center. So we understand the significance of that play and that stretch down the end of the game against Miami. But I think if you look at this defense, and again, kind of what you talked about in the back half, with players like Sharif Denson, Jonelle Aguero, Edwin Joseph. I think Andy Jaffe's going to be a piece this year. Dorian Barney, a true freshman, is someone that could come in. And we haven't talked anything about Squirrel, Ladarian Clardy. At the end of the day, depth is going to be in a place that it hasn't been since maybe 14 or 15, and that is in the secondary. And I think by going to the portal, and I think you underestimated just a little bit about how good this portal class is from a defensive standpoint. I truly believe that that defensive staff, Randall Joyner, Pete Golding, they looked at that tape when they got home from the Fiesta Bowl, and I think they probably were legitimately nauseous because of not having the depth to be able to bring people in to just flat tackle Miami down the stretch to make any type of, I mean, there were receivers just running wide open. And I think a lot of it's just depth. I don't think that necessarily is talent. That's just depth. And here's a position that we haven't talked about very much, and that's at linebacker. And I had someone that's been around the program since 1972 tell me that it's the best core group of linebackers they think that Ole Miss has had in quite a while. And I think we'll, you know, the rubber will meet the road soon enough. But when you talk about King Thomas, Luke Farrelly, and I like a guy in a Taj Butler who I've been told, quote, is a tackle machine. And I want to see what Jacoby Hobson can do out of Lake Cameron High for Tony Mitchell. I think the linebacker room, maybe the most unheralded room in the entire team. And someone asked about tight ends. Tight ends, they're fine. Caleb Odom is someone that's going to be a stand-up tight end in the slot. I think Luke Hodge is going to be a guy that's finally healthy, put his hand in the dirt, and it's been a really good blocking back. And look for Brady Prescorn, the younger brother of Caden Prescorn. I've heard he's been nothing but a bright, shining star on this roster. I think national perspective, kind of bringing this back, I just think from a national perspective, the education piece is not there. And I think they'll see soon enough this defense is night and day from what it was last year.
He's Brad Logan live from the mountains, and he'll be back with us next week, full bore on Monday-ish. I'll have something Monday morning with Zach, and then Brad will be back with me in the chair Tuesday, Wednesday. We'll roll on from good. As we're wrapping up here, Ole Miss has landed TCU All-Big 12 freshman catcher Brady Dallimore. He's one of the ones we touched on to start the show, and as we're rounding it out, boom, boom, he commits.
So he's committed degree. While we're okay.
Yep. While we were talking, he could play DH. You could do some things with him and Austin Folley. If you get Austin Folley back, Austin's going to test the MLB draft. But I think he'll be back. And if he does, man, that's a big piece. Brady Dallimore, TCU catcher, who we said we felt was getting in the boat. And, yeah, now he is. Can we get a new podcast schedule? Dakota King, yes, I will set that up. It's summer. Like, I was going to church camp for a week.
Place. I know.
Brad was gone for a week. It's been in the mountains. We'll get it worked out. You can pretty much guarantee in season we're going to at least have a Thursday night show at 6. But until then, we're just putting it together. I'll be better about letting y'all know when the times are at the Ole Miss Spirit. Go to the Ole Miss Spirit and you'll see it. OMSpirit.com, Fleetwood on 3. Brad, enjoy the mountains. I'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Thank you all for joining us in the chat. Thanks to our sponsors, and we'll see you soon. Bye, Brad. And we lost him. It's like the perfect time to say bye. Y'all are great. See you soon.